the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. How are you doing this morning, O-Dog?
How you doing, guys? I'm rather pumped up from that music coming in. I don't know who the hell that was. Was that Motley Crue or?
Yeah, it was Motley Crue. Looks like Kill.
Yeah, that got me fired up. I was kind of in a bit of a daze, but now I'm ready to rock.
Were you going back to almost warm up and looking at your flow in the mirror there just to see how you're looking before you come out?
Yeah, I mean, I did check the flow quite a bit, but I don't ever remember that tune playing in warm-up. That's really a blast from the past, that one.
There you go. We wanted to take you back to make sure you're comfortable as you join the show. How was the golf game yesterday, by the way?
It was solid. I'm playing pretty well. I've had some vacation time here, and I got a lot of rounds in. I'm hitting it pretty good. I'm just not I just have high expectations. I'm just not scoring. Like, I just want one round that's real low, and then I can take some average stuff, but it just seems to all kind of average.
Yeah. Is losing to Kyle Dubas and Jerry D put a little dent in the confidence?
More James Duffy's confidence, actually. I played not bad that day, and it all came down to one shot for him. He hit this hybrid from, like, 205 yards that just went sideways, which is, it's like hitting a shank in golf. The shank's ultimately not that bad, but it's every shot after that, you're thinking about the shank. And he was mentally destroyed after that, and he couldn't get the ball airborne. He was just rattled, and I don't know. I don't want to single him out, but he cost the team the match. We were five up, like five shots better than them on 11. And even Jerry told me after, he's like, I was just waiting for Duffy. Because in the alternate shot, like amateur golfers, regardless of your capabilities, like it could go sideways alternate shot very quickly. And it did. And we just couldn't get it back on track. And I don't know. But I do put the blame on him. There's no question.
Nice. Nice. I love that. Blame the teammates. All right. Well, good thing you're all getting back to the desk now. Now, what are you working television-wise during the playoffs?
Just covering, we got a preview show Friday night, and then just basically covering the Leafs and their series against Columbus, basically doing SportsCenter hits. So some of it's from home, some of it's in studio. It's just good, guys. I don't know what your thoughts are, but that was a grind 2 or 3 months with no sports on TV, getting plowing through some shows with really nothing going on. So I was, you know, I talked to Brian Hayes yesterday on our show, and he was, you know, hoping for like crowd noise or different. I was like, I'm just happy to watch a Major League Baseball player, an NHL hockey player, an NBA. Like, I'm just happy to watch live sports. I don't care about the crowd. I could have the volume right down. I did last night. My wife was insisted that HGTV. I got three TVs. She insisted that HGTV stayed on the big one, and I had two sports games on top of it, and I watched with no volume, like very happily. So
nice.
I'm just glad it's all back on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all are. So thoughts on this Columbus-Toronto series? And we won't talk too much about the game on Tuesday between the Leafs and Habs. But what are your expectations of what we're going to see starting Sunday?
I don't know. Torts has got kind of like a bit of a Belichick feel to him, where he's got so much time to sit and prepare for a team. You know he's going to be ready. You know he's going to have his team ready. So I think for the Maple Leafs, and there's been a lot of talk in Toronto where it's like do or die for this group. And I guess with the salary cap and the way their salaries are structured, they do have to make some hay, I would guess, in the next couple of years. But I don't really consider it a do or die situation. But you talk about this young team, and there's two elements to it. When the Chicago Blackhawks, that young group, won three Stanley Cups rather quickly. And then there's the other side of it, which is Washington, which took Ovi, I think, 13 years to win the Cup. So I think Toronto's got to be ready to play. They have to kind of, as Ray Ferraro says, put their big boy pants on and be ready to compete and really ready to grind. Because regardless, I think you would have to give the edge to Toronto with talent level and elite goal scoring and playmaking. But they're going to work, man. You've seen it all year with the injuries they've had and the way they work and the way they grind. So if Toronto's not ready for that competition element of this play-in series, they're going to have a difficult time. It's the old saying, if skill doesn't work, work's going to win. So they've got the talent, but they've got to, you know, try to take the next step here. And they've talked about their defensive play, and they got to make improvements. But they got to play well. They have to have their big boys step up, but they really have to compete to have a chance. And I think they're the favorite against Columbus, but they better be ready to work.
And to that, Jeff, do you think realistically watching this team the entire year that they have the personnel and that they can switch the mentality to actually play defense?
That remains to be seen. That's a great question, Simmer. I think that, you know, I asked Sheldon Keefe the other day. I just said, you know, at the NHL level, like, if a guy needs to be told where to stand and where to go, I think he's in trouble. It should be kind of a known thing where how to play defense, but it's just an all-around mindset and an attitude where, you know, if he got the puck, like William Nylander the other night against Montreal, it was on the boards. He just didn't work hard enough and didn't get it out, and ultimately it ended up back in the net. So it's not necessarily, I think, forwards and Maple Leaf fans love to put it on the D-core, saying they're just not good enough, they're not quick enough to get to the puck, they're not physical enough. But it was a simple play where if Nylander got the puck out at the blue line, then they don't have to deal with the nonsense in front of their net, and everybody looks bad because they were kind of going on transition and they didn't have a man, and it's just, but if Nylander gets that puck out, so it's just simple fundamental stuff. You got to work, get back there, and they're so talented that if they just get back there and do the work, they're going to have a puck a whole lot more. So it's a really big thing, because since I've started working at TSN, we're going on 7 or 8 years now, I've been saying the same thing, even with Kessel and that group. They're talented, they can score goals, but can they defend? It's been the same storyline since I've started working at TSN, which is creeping up on a long time. So it's something they got to figure out.
Talking to Jeff O'Neill, the O-Dog. So if you're Sheldon Keefe, are you dressing Nick Robertson in the first game, or are you going with more size and grit in Freddie Gauthier?
I'm putting Nick Robertson in the lineup. If they're committed to the idea of speed and skill and playmaking and puck possession and having it, then he's a guy I think that can possibly score a big goal and be a difference maker. Freddie Gauthier, I love the guy. He's a fantastic character guy in the locker room. But ultimately, when you talk about what's actually being done on the ice, he's a big body that can kill penalties, maybe take a face-off. But there's not a ton being accomplished there. If he had a mean streak and he ran people over and just had that kind of mentality, that's a different beast. But it's just, I'm putting Nick Robertson in the lineup. There's, you know, he's a young kid, and people might say, you know, you got to let him sit and wait his turn. But if you're good enough, you're good enough. And I think he's good enough, and he had an assist, and he almost scored a goal the other night, and I only think he's going to get better from here on in.
I listened to your show the other day, or watched actually, and there was a comment about Freddie Anderson, and I thought you guys mentioned maybe a little heavy, a little conditioning. I watched that game that night. I thought he looked really flat-footed, not very comfortable in the net. Kind of thoughts on what you've heard and what you've seen so far?
Well, there was talk of Freddie Anderson in the inter-squad games where he was, you know, pucks were going in, but I thought he looked good against Montreal. I haven't heard the talk of conditioning or any of that here. Maybe I haven't been reading the paper properly, but I think he's, you know, for him to go into that game, obviously there's pressure on him. He's a guy that hasn't really got the job done in the playoffs, and goaltending is such a key element. So he looked good the other night, and I think he's going to be confident going into the series against Columbus. But as far as the conditioning, I haven't heard that similar.
If he doesn't get it done this playoff, if they fall to Columbus or even in round one of the playoffs, whoever they choose, I think he's got, a year or two left on his contract. Do you think Toronto's going to start looking somewhere else for a goalie or what?
I think if they don't get it done and they ultimately end up losing to Columbus, I think, I don't know if the idea of blowing it up is there. I said, I mean, they're a young group. They do have to take a step, but if it doesn't happen, maybe there's a tweak, maybe there's an adjustment. I clearly think Toronto would be hoping the salary cap went up a significant amount. I don't think that's going to be the case. So there might be a tinkering, or somebody has to move on out and just change the dynamic. But for Freddie Anderson, I think that, you know, he's, if you're going to invest, and who knows what money's going to be available for the Morgan Riley's coming up, Freddie Anderson's coming up. So I think they got to make some hay here, and he's definitely a guy that's got to get done for Toronto.
Do you look more importantly with Barry and CeCe and guys like that, O-Dog, that you'd probably see a reshape in the defense if they don't go very well, even regardless that both walk out the door based on the salary cap?
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, Simmer, I've been talking about the D-core and their ability to get back and move the puck and be physical back there and just simply defend. I mean, I don't expect everyone to be a Norris Trophy candidate back there. There's not Nick Lidstrom's around, but just the ability to go back there and not look lost in your own end is so important. It's just, you got to, with the talent, it's a pretty simple job back there. Obviously, Morgan Riley's a special player. Barry can be effective. He's a puck-moving guy, but just go back there and keep it simple and get it in the hands of the forwards, because they're the guys that make things happen out there. So keep it simple, stupid, as always, and just move the puck up to the forwards. Seems like a pretty simple plan.
with Jeff O'Neill from TSN 1050 in Toronto. What kind of hockey do you think we're going to see overall? I mean, we've never been in the position we're in now where nobody's played for 4.5 months or so, and you're going right into the playoffs, right into do or die right away. So what kind of hockey do you think we're going to see?
I think it's going to be good. I think we're in an era where these guys are just, I mean, when Simmer and myself was playing, it's like we needed August to kind of to ramp the situation up, and come September training camp, we would be ready to go. But I think these guys, it's just more of a, it's more emphasis on being ready to go 12 months a year, the training and the diet and the nutrition. They're just, it seems like they just need 2 weeks of practice and one preseason game or scrimmage, whatever you want to call it. And I think they're going to be ready to go. And I think once you add the intensity of, okay, this is for real now, I just think they're going to be ready to go and it's going to be good hockey. Some of the scrimmages, games, exhibition games, they've been a little bit sloppy. They've been a little bit careless. But I think in this situation, guys will be able to flip the switch and be ready to go. Sure, it's not going to be perfect. There might be some bad periods, some bad goals, goaltending. There might be some guys that are just mentally not really into it right now. But I think it's going to be pretty good.
Do you think there's an opportunity, O-Dog, that we could end up seeing up-tempo hockey in a short series, everybody's fired up, and then all of a sudden maybe hit a bit of a physical wall in the true round number one?
Yeah, I think you see that in all playoffs. Like, you always see the, you know, round one, there's awesome hockey, and you know, there's an upset or two, and then round two, it's kind of similar, and then maybe the conference final, things kind of go into a bit of a grind, so I think every year, Simmer, that's a situation that generally happens, so I don't think it'll be any different this year. And who knows, like, they're going to be excited, as I talked about, hockey's been off for so long. Who knows how long they can keep that adrenaline up, so there might be a tail off, but the mentality of the players has got to be, this is different, this is a situation that might not be optimum for all the guys to be in a bubble, to be in a hotel, but let's just grind it out. If you're one of those quality teams that have a chance, I don't think they care about the asterisk. People talk about, oh, is it really a Stanley Cup? Yeah, it is. You get a replica of the cup and you get a ring, and I don't think anyone's good. There's not going to be any COVID on the ring or the little replica trophy. So just grind it out for 2 months and give yourself the best chance.
Yeah. If you're one of the top four teams, that they'll play this three-game round robin for seeding, but really at the end of the day, you know you're going to be on to the important games after that. Are you really gunning to try to get the first spot when there's no, at the end of the day, not really a home ice advantage, or are you just playing to kind of get yourself ready to go to make sure you know, round one of the playoffs, game one is your best game?
I think they're just going to be thinking. I don't know how much pressure or emphasis they're going to be putting on it, because as you said, it's all in the same barns. So let's just get fine tuned here, get ready to go, and they all got to ultimately face each other sooner or later anyway, so let's just see where we're at, and if you win it, that's great, and if not, let's just see who we got, and let's get after it.
I think of all the teams, O-Dog, going into it, everyone seemed to have the dark horses, the New York Rangers. Is there a team, and you know, going up against your old Carolina Hurricanes, is there a team you're looking at out of the 24 that you think might be a sleeper?
One of my buddies, I had a little golf weekend with my buddies, and one of my buddies kind of, I'm kind of surprised he had to talk to me. He liked the Canes. He said he really thinks if the goaltending can hold up, they got some great talented young players, and I think they could do some Caniac type things. You know, the more he kept talking in the golf cart, I was like, I'm just not buying this. I'm not buying this. And then about the 13th hole, I'm like, you know what? This guy's been blabbing for 3.5 hours. Maybe I actually, it's like a salesman. He just talked me around. I'm like, you know what? Maybe the Canes are pretty good, and they could do some damage. It was the ultimate sell job. So as soon as I walked off the golf course, I'm like, man, I really like the Canes right now. I'm like, what are you, like a shrink or something? I'm like, I was all in on the Canes after I left the golf round. So maybe Carolina can do something special.
Yeah. We were debating earlier this morning whether Simmer thinks that Tampa Bay is under huge, huge pressure to win this year. And I kind of look at it and go, this is such a crazy year. I don't know if the pressure is any worse than any other year. Where do you come down on where the Lightning are at in terms of the importance of winning this year in particular?
I know what they did, win the championship back with Le Cavalier and that group, but they're kind of, you know, they got to get it going, or they're going to be morphing into kind of San Jose-type territory back in the day where everyone had them as favorites every year. It's like San Jose, San Jose, San Jose, and it was first-round exit. Not making it, or second round exit, and they just couldn't get the job done. So I think for Tampa, after that disappointing loss, I think Coop was under the gun at the beginning of the season, and they ultimately turned it around. But they're just under pressure. They accumulate a lot of points. They've got a lot of talent. And they've got to win sooner or later.
All right. So when it comes to Saturday, does HGTV rule the day as far as the audio goes at the O'Neill family homestead or what?
I will be informing my wife the TV is off limits. It will be all mine all day long.
Okay. All right. What's your over-under and the number of hours you'll be watching on Saturday?
I'll be fully tuned in for everything. I'm committed to night and day. I got a little workout in the morning, and then I'm watching TV.
All right. 13 hours. We'll mark you down. We'll reconvene and see if that's the actual fact. Hey, listen, really appreciate the time and the insight. Look forward to watching your coverage on SportsCenter. And thanks again. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.